about the ego. I'm having a personal problem with the lessons I'm on.
Okay.
And it might have anything to do with tonight, I don't know. But in the book it says, if you're starting to do what the book is telling you to do, the ego's going to come in and start fighting like mad.
Yeah.
Well, so I'm on lesson 221, and I've been studying about the road to peace for a couple of lessons.
Okay.
In a row. This morning, specifically, Jesus was going to accompany me, and we're going to be as one, and we're going to find this path to God, etc. If all I have to do is be silent and be still, and be with me, and God's voice will come. Okay, well, I did a fairly good job in that, but not perfect. I had the worst day of my life. Everything that could go wrong did go wrong. I thought, be peaceful, Luann, be peaceful, Luann. And it wasn't working most of the time.
Yeah, yeah.
So what I want to know is it true that when you start doing fairly well with the lessons, you do have more problems with your ego?
You also have problems with small things.
The little tiny things
matter. Before Course in Miracles, you found some way to handle the big things. Your maturity, your education, your family, your money, whatever. Support group, who knows what. So when you got into Course in Miracles and started talking about it, you could handle the big things pretty... It was even better to handle the big things. Now you got Course in Miracles also. However, as you advance in your awakening, now the little inconveniences, the smaller things in life, make a much bigger... They're noticeable. They seem to take your peace more. So yeah, it appears as though, and it's true, because relatively it's very true, little things make you more upset.
So when I think about what I went through today, were they little things? They didn't feel like little things.
The big things you can handle. The two or three of these little things, your attitude goes down. Ego's just trying to find some way to get you back into an argument with life.
I have to fight the ego to stay out of an argument, that's for sure.
If it can drag you into that...
And fighting anything, even the ego, is ridiculous.
It is. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
But if it can, if it gets you in a little bit of anger, a little bit of vengeance, if it can get you there, then it can get some judgment and some guilt going, and it'll give you a reason to be upset. It'll make you surrender as fast as it can. That's because that's what it was designed to do.
Okay.
And the whole world is just built around that support.
And it goes back to Miracle 1.
Yeah.
First, miracle there. They're all the same. There's no big and little.
Yeah.
What seems little to us is just the same as what's big.
Yeah. And just looking at that one miracle principle,
yeah,
or any of them, starts to unravel the power, yeah, of the world crushing you again.
Yeah, and it does. It seems like skin, because stuff that you didn't notice before, because before the ego just kind of hides it all.
Yeah. Because remember...
Now you get to see everything.
The ego is actually
cool.
Nothing but a principle. God is nothing but a principle. There is no force that is God that would act on you. The ego is not a force that would act on you.
Where does all that energy come from?
It's an abstraction composed of belief.
Beliefs. They're each beliefs. The energy comes from your beliefs. The energy comes from your values. The energy comes from your devotion. And the energy stays with your addiction. If you believe that these problems affect your happiness, they will. To the exact extent that you believe, then they will. Now, if you're Dave over here, and you flip to Miracle Principle number 1, and you believe that there's no orders of difficulty in miracles because they're all on the same level of illusion.
Well, everything that happened today felt like the same level.
It's the same level. it's a dirty materialistic level with lots of teeth.
Yeah.
Whether it's health or money or happiness or time, but it's all the same level when you go back to the book. You can experience the power of your mind right then and there.
And they can combine in lots of interesting ways.
They really can. And if you can stack them like Legos. But it's really building nothing from nothing. With the right perspective. With the ego perspective, it's horrendous. And a whole world is built from it. But with the same mind, the same energy now, this is the good news. It's the exact same energy that was having you be angry or worried or fearful or guilty. The same energy that can be turned toward the light. And that energy makes light now. We call it enlightenment of your mind right in that moment. Getting still, looking at miracle principle number one, saying, I don't know what anything means. God, this looks bad this time. Please show me another way. Whatever you do to stop the cycle of going in the dark and take a breath, instantly, the exact same energy. This is the good news. You don't have to go anywhere, do anything. Don't need any more than you already had. In fact, you had too much. That was the problem. You were pointing it as the dark and following it. Same energy with the Holy Spirit now, turn it the other way and start laughing. God, what was I doing to myself? This is all a material addiction that I'm going to leave, and I've already left. I just keep
laughing
practicing.
At myself by the end of the day. Thank God. Huh? I wouldn't have been here probably.
Yeah.
I was laughing at myself. I
Good.
Thought, gee, this has been an awful day that you let yourself live through.
Good.
So what is it when it's like, it is so good.
Yes.
Like something happens. And
yes.
It's like you dodge a bullet.
Okay.
And it's like major, like, it's a miracle. I mean, that's what I would be calling it before. Now it's like very humbling to read what miracles really are.
Yeah.
But so what do you call when something really, like there was something that had happened to us and it could have been disastrous. And
yes.
It just like... We didn't make a big deal of it. It just, you
That's
know, it's like,
it was
just,
okay.
Holy Spirit, help us see this differently. And everything, we sailed through this situation easy peasy. And we're just, you know, it's like I wanted to tell somebody about it. God, guess what happened, you know. And it was, I didn't do it. It was like not make a big deal of it. You know, like it didn't really even happen. Kept coming up and... So, but it's just almost like I wanted to. It was so exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm glad.
So I don't know what that is. You know,
what is it if it
would have been a miracle? What is it now?
See, you're asking the right question for your learning.
We were pulling a horse trailer. We didn't have horses in it.
Yep.
But we were on our way to pick up hay on 101, and. All of a sudden, I'm driving, I see sparks coming off my side of the vehicle, and Ken's going, I hate it when the trailer starts to pass us, you know, he's seeing the trailer coming up alongside
him. Yeah.
And thank God there was a place to pull over, mm-hmm. and the trailer had come off the hitch and got underneath the truck,
yeah.
and was, you know, pushing us.
Yeah.
And what we were looking at it, just going, whoa, you know, and it's just like, just easy, you know, just let's see this differently.
Yeah.
And
it was
our, of course our jack didn't work, so we had to call Blake. Came and he jacked it up, and we look and it's like it just, we backed the truck up and forward a little bit, got the hitch undone from the truck, nothing, no damage, nothing wrong. Mm-hmm. We put that hitch back on, he goes, there you go get your hay. And it's just like, I think you should have a breakdown or something. I mean, sure, you know, and it was like,
yes.
Dodge a bullet.
One of those things.
So this, as a Course in Miracles student, this is a chance for you to call your awakening in on the same coin. You're used to having miracles around the negative side of things. Something's bad, and you decide, you know what? I'm not going to let this ruin my day, because it's just in the, and you let, and you feel relief, you do your miracle, your forgiveness, your holy instant, and you say, yeah, bad things don't have to happen and don't have to hurt, even if they do happen. And you celebrate as a Course in Miracles student. Now, it's just as important, and I know this is why you brought this up, because you know what I'm talking about. You're like, now, here I am, happy about something, but I'm happy about the world. Well, isn't that the same as being sad about the world? I'm celebrating the world. I'm idolizing the world, right?
Well, except for there was that one little thing about asking Holy Spirit to see things differently.
Yes.
And not make a big deal out of it.
Yes.
I didn't call all my friends, God, guess yes. what happened, you know,
yes.
And talk about the horrid thing that it could have been.
That's why you brought it up. It could have been horrid, and even though it wasn't, but you could have told three or four stories, and then they would have told you their stories about the trailer that popped up that was horrid. Or Kenny's the one that passed him on the freeway. That looks just like my trailer.
They got a horse trailer too going past.
No, it's very important.
That up, though,
it's very important because it's two sides of the exact same coin. And if you are going to be free, you grab this too, and you, as you did, you didn't call your friends, you didn't celebrate that the world didn't get you this time, which means it would have got you, right. And it will next time. Right? Turn to page 579, paragraph 1.
Is that the coin of duality?
Yeah, it's a coin of the world. Coin of material price. The price of believing in materialism.
Thank you.
The price of not identifying with spirit. And there's two sides of that coin, a happy side and a sad side, but they're both the world.
I have a question.
Witness to sin, yeah.
Like, what are you talking about? Because a lot of times you'll get, when like, we start doing this stuff, me and Rick and everybody, we get some cool miracle. Yeah, we go discuss the thing with everybody, but after a while, get so many of these things you don't really need to, so that's kind of normal for it not to. So I'll try to remember what we did so we can say, oh, you want to, I'll share something, but you start forgetting about it, it's not as big of a deal.
That's true.
That's pretty normal then, okay.
It's absolutely normal.
Is that where, like, he said, what'd you get? Yeah, I did get something, I don't remember anymore. It's just
absolutely normal.
So that's a good sign then.
That's a good sign.
Okay.
The first few you celebrate and you try to make a big deal out of them and you realize, that's just normal. And then you start to relax.
Yeah.
And go for the next level.
So you've been doing that for quite a while now. Yeah. Like,
that's right. Yeah. That's right.
And we'll go find it. Let's read some. Let me have to just pull the page out of the book and read it and see if we come up with something. But yeah, we used to share that stuff.
Yeah. Because remember, most of what you're doing in your spiritual awakening is letting go of what's false.
Yeah.
And that's not worthy of a good story.
Yeah. What's cool is like when you were talking about how you have something that happens and then you let go of this stuff and then you'll have certain experiences and it is never, they're like, wow, that was an easy one.
Yeah.
Should have been a disaster. It's just like, you see it so differently that how could this possibly be a problem?
Yep. That's right.
How could this possibly have been a problem?
Yeah.
Why did I make this? Wow.
That's right.
This used to be a problem.
So here it goes. You're letting go of something that is not real. So it's not that interesting.
Yeah. And the past will disappear.
It's not real. Why would you hold on to it anyway? It would be a made-up fear. Why would you hold on to it anyway? It's what everybody else does, and they're fear-ridden. Why would you hold on to that? Just because they do. Just because you did in the past. If it's not real, it's not worthy of holding on to. And eventually, storytelling.
So in the past, literally, it starts disappearing?
It literally disappears.
That's just kind of like, whoa. First it was kind of freaky, but now it's like... Yeah.
It disappears in the same way a mirage disappears in the desert. The closer you get to seeing it, the less you can see of it. It disappears in the same way a mirage disappears, because it was made up. And as you learn to open your eyes with enlightenment and awakening, then these things disappear. They were not there. Your past is not there. And the more you wake up, you get closer to understanding that what the ego calls the present is not there either. Which makes you relax around things that appear to be happening. And you say, you know what? It's no use waiting for this to end so I can find out whether I'm going to be happy or not. I'm going to be happy now and just ride through it, whatever happens. You have the power to do that with your awakening. So check this out on page 579, paragraph 1. And are you there, Bridget?
Yeah.
Why don't you read that for us?
Pain demonstrates the body must be real. It is a loud, obscuring voice whose shrieks would silence what the Holy Spirit says and keep His voice, His words from your awareness. Mm-hmm. Pain compels attention, drawing it away from Him and focusing upon itself. Its purpose is the same as pleasure, for they both are means to make the body real. What shares a common purpose is the same. This is the law of purpose, which unites all those who share in it within itself. Pleasure and pain are equally unreal, because their purpose cannot be achieved. Thus are they means for nothing, for they have a goal without a meaning, and they share the lack of meaning which their purpose has.
And they share the lack of meaning which their purpose has. Okay, so now let me read through this regarding the horse trailer. The pain and trouble and the possible loss of having a horse trailer drop off on the freeway demonstrates that the body must be real, because the body would suffer from a horse trailer crashing in a truck, dending the bumper and causing $1,000 in damage. But it didn't. But it could have. It's a loud, obscuring voice, a horse trailer that could have pushed your truck into the ditch, maybe rolled your truck as you guys went to stop. The trailer could have pushed you sideways, right? What if it was loaded? Oh!
It had horses in it.
It would weigh more than the truck, maybe. Oh my God, it could have rolled you into the ditch, and you got to the hospital, phoning into the meeting.
Come on, you're
Bridget, you there? Kenny, you there? All right, your turn to read. Can't read. I'm in a face cast. Could happen. That story is a loud, obscuring voice. The whole story. That shrieks. It says that the body could be real. Pain compels attention, drawing it away from the Holy Spirit and focusing upon itself. Pain's purpose, in the pain of this whole trouble, this whole scenario that could have happened, it's the same as pleasure. Now we can see that this coin has two sides. Because the pleasure that it didn't happen. What didn't happen? Well, let me tell you what didn't happen. What didn't happen was horrible. What didn't happen could have cost Kenny and me so much. Maybe we would have hurt somebody else too. Oh my God, that's what didn't happen. So much. But you see, it's the same coin, right? There, this pleasure and pain here, this coin, both sides of the coin now, it's the same coin, see? It's seen as the same. For they both are means to make the body real. It's the body that suffers from a horse trailer accident. Truck accident, road accident, whatever. It's the body. You guys would have to deal with that with your bodies, with your money, your time, who knows what. Now, here comes some metaphysics. What shares a common purpose is the same, period. Do you see the circle? What shares a common purpose? It is going at for the same purpose. That means that all efforts will go to the same outcome. So no matter what you see two or more doing, if they have a common purpose, it supports the one purpose. Even though maybe Kenny's hooking up the trailer, and you're driving, or he's looking out the passenger, and you're looking at the spark. But your purpose together, if you guys are going to commiserate on how bad this could have been, or if you're going to celebrate on the horrible things that didn't happen, the purpose is the same. Which is why it's so handy when you get people together who are willing to study Course in Miracles together. Because we share a common purpose. And so all of us are acting the same. We're all teaching the same thing when we come in this room. What shares a common purpose is the same. We all become the same. When we come in here to bust the ego, we all become the same. The mind is pulling in the same direction and we're healing. All of us healing. Sharing with each other healing as though it was our own mind, for it is. So it's metaphysics right there. So it's pain or pleasure over the world. It's the same. It's the world. So you caught that. That's why you brought it up. You totally knew. It's good.
So we're actually sharing. So the actual act of sharing is the thing we're looking at.
Yes.
Not the
yes. World. Yes. The sharing, the principle of sharing, mm-hmm. is what makes the circle.
So this is like a theme. We have to see it more like a theme than
or a belief. John's calling it a belief.
Yeah.
And so if you're carrying the same belief, that becomes your purpose. And if you guys believe, you're really lucky because you didn't crash. Nobody would fault you for that. But watch it. The ego's going to use your celebration to drive you back to the world of loss and lack. Because you didn't lose. It's just...
So let's push it. So if we're pushing this experience more like a holy relationship,
yes.
How would it change?
Well, now...
So it's going to start changing, right?
Now your faith
good
is
question.
Not in... What? Go.
Good question.
Yeah.
Your faith in a holy relationship is a different faith than a special unholy relationship. You got it?
Well, what I was also working with was I'm not a body... That I can't be hurt.
Yes.
There is no, what is it? I'm not a body. I'm as Christ. God created me.
That's right. Yeah, that's
so
exactly, that's
no, whenever shit hits the fan, I'm still going to be okay.
That's it. That's the thing. With the unholy relationship, special relationship, it is based fundamentally on lack. And I'm lacking something, and you have what I need. So I want to have a relationship with you so I can get what I need. And I'll give you something of mine, which I don't care much for, but I hope you like. And maybe you get what you need. So we'll kind of exchange. And this conditional relationship goes on lack. And as long as you have what I need and I have what you need, we're going to have a good relationship. As long as that condition is met. That's the world's ego relationship.
So with
the holy relationship, let me finish. Mm-hmm. Holy relationship is not built on lack. It's built on what you said, which is nothing real can be threatened. And I want to be real with you. Now my relationship with you is whatever happens, we're whole. Whatever happens to either one of us, we're whole. Mm-hmm. I'm interested in you being happy. That makes me happy because we share happiness in a holy relationship. No matter what happens. It's not built on lack. It's built on an abundance. An abundance you tapped into with a spiritual awakening like you described. There's a strength there. When you say, I'm not a body, after your sincere studying of A Course in Miracles, it means something. Because it has lifted your heart in private and in public. For free. It means something. It means something to you. So you actually go there.
Takes a lot of pressure off.
It takes a lot of pressure off. It feels good. I'll take two.
You can only lack if you are a body.
Yes.
And which implies special relationship.
Yes.
Special compromise.
Yeah, because there's bodies that have needs and there's bodies that can be hurt.
So it's based on the level of your belief.
Yes.
And spirit.
Yes, and your values. What do you want? Do you want the body to be healthy so it can be happy and sleep well at night? Is that your only goal? try some drugs, you know.
Can I quote you on that?
You'll be back.
Yeah, I am back.
And you're back. Yeah. So this paragraph
nails it.
Yeah.
My Reiki teacher said that this has stuck with me so much. This person was talking about this amazing spiritual experience they had, and it was just so amazing, and they're always having it, and the next greatest spiritual experience. And she looked right at him and said, "This too shall pass." And I loved it.
Nailed it.
I loved it. So that stuck with me.
Sanity. Very good. Excellent. So just if let Jesus continue to hammer the nail we're talking about. Sentence 6. This is the law of purpose. Laws are metaphysical. Metaphysical meaning they always apply. They're underneath everything, all the appearances, the laws of truth.
Where did you go?
Page 579, paragraph 1, sentence 6. And it's regarding sentence 5. What shares a common purpose is the same. This is the law of purpose, which unites all those who share in it with itself. Do you see the circle? Shared understanding, shared meaning. As you give, you receive. Good or bad, that's what you get. Same coin. Pleasure and pain are equally unreal. Because their purpose cannot be achieved. Whoa! What's the purpose of pleasure and pain that can't be achieved?
To make the body real.
To make the body real. Welcome to a spiritual meeting. Very depressing. Mm-hmm. If your focus is to make the body happy and joyous in this life, every minute, every day.
It never.
And your children too, because you love them as much as yourself. You mothers. You mothers are burdened the same way. Because now your children must be happy for you to be happy. So you can manipulate the world as best you can to pave their way. Oh, why would they do drugs? I'm trying to make it. Drop out of college. Why would you do that? Marry who? Are you kidding me? Don't do that with your teeth. Right? That's the world.
So the problem with being a mother is we think that we may be here in this circle trying to trying to know that our body is not real. Mm-hmm. But we still think our children's bodies are real.
Yes. And you insist to make it easy for them. If possible, easier than you had it.
So then we get drawn back into our own body because we think it's our body abilities to make our kids happy.
The ego is secretly lying to you.
Yep.
Saying you can be free, but your children cannot.
part of the mother's identity, yeah. Invested in the children.
That's right.
They're making it all real.
Well, there's a lot of things we have to give up, isn't there? It's kind of like a whole lifetime of just letting go.
It's like a whole lifetime, Zoe, of letting go. Yeah. It's like letting go of a whole lifetime.
Yeah.
A whole belief system.
Yeah.
A Course in Miracles says that the cost of Course in Miracles is everything you now believe.
I said this morning, I don't know what to believe anymore.
Good for you.
Excellent.
To the Holy Spirit. What am I supposed to do?
Excellent.
You know what the book says that makes me feel okay about that, though, is we can't know, and God will draw us in. We don't have to do that last step. I always say, okay, I can get through this next step because I don't have to do the last step because I don't know how to do the last step. Probably never will.
But it also says that if it only left you with that the body wasn't real, you would be depressed. If you were just left that everything you think is an illusion, you would just be sad.
That's a body thing too.
But it says, you know what, try it for a moment and feel the freedom that comes. And you're still here. And yet you're lighter. That's why I love the word enlightenment.
Yes? That's one of my favorite quotes, the end of suffering, which is to give up this idea, right? Cannot be loss.
Yes.
It isn't loss. It only feels like sacrifice.
Yes.
From the ego perspective.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Several of Miracle Principles deal with this whole idea of lack and loss. The miracle sees that it's impossible. And as you awaken to the source of everything that you're experiencing now, you will know it's impossible. You as the source. You in the very instant are actually deciding what you experience. It's not happening to you. This is part of your spiritual awakening. It's wonderful. Now you can have fun. Now you can enjoy this journey in a body. But until then, you will be a victim. And terrible things can happen to you, over which you will suffer. So much you might question God's existence and love itself. That's what the ego can do. It's make you very unhappy. Yes?
So the idea, what's coming to my mind is the happy dream.
Yeah.
So the idea with this conversation is so great, because we always focus so much on anger and things like that, but we can get caught by also trying to hold what we have,
yes,
or we think we have.
Yes.
So the happy dream, right, is not that all the great things just happen because you awoke, but it's that you can play in the sandbox whether, quote-unquote, good things that one might perceive as good or bad occur.
Yes.
You know that you are just playing in a world of illusion.
Yes.
And that you are 100% something more than this.
Yes.
And okay. Always.
Yes.
Totally okay.
That's right.
More than okay.
That's,
yeah,
right.
Okay.
That's right.
So, Andrew, this paragraph we were talking about, we shared the egos, what the egos thought when we made. So the sharing made the ego real.
Yep.
And sharing was important, so then we need to learn to share non-ego stuff.
That's right.
To make that real.
That's right.
What I also learned here recently, which was kind of a trip, is a lot of times we think about, well, we're going to envision ourselves being in heaven and all these cool things, but yet that really doesn't work. You know, because what we really need to do is look at what this ego presents without judging it. What's just looking, okay, I just see the ego thing. You just kind of look at it and stop.
Mm-hmm.
All judgment of, like, of it being good or bad or whatever. And by actually being able to do that, it kind of goes away, because you're looking at it saying, oh, you have to choose.
Yes.
I don't want that.
Yes, that's what it's like to wake up.
If you don't judge it good, or if you just leave that part out, really.
That's right. You know,
that's kind of, yeah, hard to understand, but once you just kind of get it, it seems like, wow, that works.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what it means to wake up from a dream, is you stop dreaming.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean you dream of being awake.
No, it's actually, the whole thing's about, we're sitting in here in a world that is not true. And so I read, once this reading part about what truth is, and it's like, so, well, I see, I can see duality as truth. This is true, this is not truth. That's duality.
Mm-hmm.
But then I realize the only thing that is here is truth.
Yeah.
There's nothing,
yeah,
else. And then you see that whole thing, well,
yes,
you can't really be there in this world.
Yeah.
So all you can do is the opposite. So we're actually going to work right in. We're going to use all of the duality,
yeah,
to vaporize itself. Kind of, like, if that makes
you
sense.
You can use the world that you, yeah, do see with a happy dream.
Yeah.
To reinterpret what was separate and see the unity.
It's cool when you can actually see that that's what it is. It's,
yeah, it becomes very small.
Yeah, it's like, that's it?
Yeah. Yeah. And then it's a whole lot less serious.
Yeah.
It's a lot more fun.
That's what's happening.
You can start to look at the big picture now of love instead of the big picture of fear.
Well, when you're doing that too, you can see. People call for love, but there's love, others mm-hmm. call for it. Mm-hmm. And that starts to make sense, and you start to see it.
Yeah.
I had a couple of, like, these little lessons here, and I go, and that I was doing a lesson occasionally, and that would pop up. I'd see that, like a spark or a light, you know?
Yeah.
And, whoa, that was it. Let's do that again.
Yeah.
So I have a question about, like, childhood.
Yeah.
Children.
Yes.
And things happening. So they're in an illusion, and it, whether it's good or bad, painful or not. And so to look back, I mean, that's a lot. I mean, to look back and see a situation that you went through as a kid, and what responsibility did you have, or did you victimize yourself as a kid? You know, if you have an awareness now and look back, I don't know, how does it, but you're still, if I'm still suffering from something that happened in childhood.
Uh-huh.
So then that's the forgiveness. But there could be a whole bunch of other stuff back, you know, childhood stuff. But that's what's weird is, like, and being responsible for being that child.
Yes, yes. But remember, you're not responsible then for being the child. You're only responsible now for being the child.
Yeah.
What does that child mean to you now? This is where your healing is. You could go to a therapist and try to regress yourself back to 6 years old and have all sorts of talks about your birthday party and how Dad didn't show up.
Drunk. You showed up drunk.
Or he showed up drunk. And you could put all sorts of meaning on that and burden yourself with the whole story. But if you did, you'd be having that story today, not when you were six. Mm-hmm. So actually, you're experiencing the past now. And you're redreaming it. So it's not a burden that you carried in the past. The past truly, not only is it over, which is easy math, the past didn't happen now. Watch my words now. I'm not just playing here. But this is how you bust the ego. The ego says, the past is what made me the person I am today. For good or for ill, I am what my past made me, says the ego. Who could argue with that? Of course, the miracles will argue with that. It says, well, that's fine if you want to stay in your personal private hell that's made with the walls of your past. Each year, a bar in your prison cell. And the more you practice that your childhood was unfair, the thicker that bar gets. The more you practice that your parents didn't love you so you can't love, the thicker your cell gets. But beware that you are dreaming your past and your limits
now.
Mm-hmm. They are not dreamt in the past or real in the past that somehow reach forward and create a barrier around you today. No, that would be your own mind. Mm-hmm. There's no karma. Course in Miracles says, it doesn't use the word karma, but if it did, it'd say, look, yeah, there is a karma, but it's now. From your thoughts now. Not then to your thoughts now or later. That's a dream of time. That's the karmic dream of time that sews together a world of past, present, and future. Course says, if we were to talk karma, we would be like, if you think it, you got it now. Mm-hmm. There's your karma. And he's exactly right. And you can test it all the time. Like you did. You change your thoughts about it. Change your feelings. Well, there goes that karma. So a child is just part of the dream. Like, you know, the dream of the world is a dream of time. And it's just like a painting. A painting is a dream that you commit one frame of the dream to a canvas. And if you're going to do an interesting, accurate, canvas of a town. There will be children in it, playing with the water. There'll be adults fixing the building. There'll be teenagers kissing in the alley. Right? That would be the full painting of the street scene. Ah, there we go. That's what you did. This was in the orders of difficulty in miracles, because it's all the same. Little, big, child or adult. Yeah.
Tricky that way. The ego.
Oh my God, yeah. Oh, it is. It'll draw you right into the past. Yeah, indeed. Indeed. Yeah. Great. Great question.
So in the past to justify the future.
Yep.
But you have free will to imagine any way you want to and proceed any way you want to.
Yeah.
Based on whatever free will comes up with.
It'll try to draw a picture of your future based on your past. And show you that you don't have free will, and that you're destined to live out your past again. Maybe there's a small modification if you try really hard.
Past repeating itself.
Yeah.
But you have free will to say, no, I'm not obligated to do anything other than be free.
Yeah.
And I'm free to think bad things or good things.
And then you get that.
Mm-hmm.
Try it. And you have all your life.
Isn't it true, though? I might be wrong, but it seems to me like it's true that the belief system that we have now is built up from what occurs to us as children and as young adults, et cetera, et cetera. And what our job then is to say, this belief system that our childhood or whatever created, I no longer need to have as being the basis for how I am now.
Only if you're past lesson 199 in the workbook.
Well, I am.
Well, then, yeah. You should be done with that story. It serves you not. It doesn't serve you anymore.
I guess
what In fact, Luann,
yes,
it's a lie. Are you ready for that?
I'm not ready for that. I need to know what it is about what I said that's a lie.
That there were children, that there was a past that happened.
No, I'm not saying, okay, but the thing is, our ego is built on something. It isn't something we have when we're born. Ego gives you different beliefs than my ego gives me.
Yeah.
I have to give up the beliefs that I created during growing up, which is all a lie.
Yeah.
But it still is operating in me. So whatever is operating in me is what I'm trying through this course to say I don't need to have that operating in me.
Not until you're at lesson 199, where you realize that all these ego beliefs that appear to be different are the same order of difficulty. Dealing with the exact same level, so therefore the same thing. There's only two levels, there are only two things to deal with. One of them is illusion.
Mm-hmm.
Material things you can see.
Okay.
The other is truth, spiritual things.
See, I'm not arguing that we don't all have the same road to hoe, so to speak, as far as this book is concerned.
Uh-huh.
I am saying that we got to this road from our illusion of the past.
Yes, and no two are the same.
And no two are the same. But when we get here, 199 or wherever it is, I don't know, we all have the same thing to be able to take care of for ourselves. We all have to do the same thing, which is to say there is no such thing as the illusions we've built.
Yes.
We all have to say the same thing, that we need to find a way to let the Holy Spirit tell us what to do in order to keep away from those illusions.
Remember, your job is not to do anything.
And I think that's what you're saying. I think you're effectively saying that each one of us has to unlearn.
Yes.
Unlearn. And that for you, you see that as like unlearning the past. And regardless of what it is, right, it's our illusions.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But undoing.
So it turns out, in the beginning of the workbook, it's a
is a separate personal journey, and you'll actually undo very specific things.
Right.
Of your personal life, from mm-hmm. your childhood, or your friends, or your enemies, or your children, or your body, or whatever. The climate, you know, who knows what it is you're going to pick. The burdens that you personally have. And you'll spend 200 lessons basically peeling those out of your psyche. Very generously. It has exercises you'll go through, be very specific, and do inventories about what your personal burdens are. But then, when you get to the middle of the workbook, it switches tones.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, okay, now you probably are ready to say, to generalize.
Yes.
I have other things I didn't bring up. I even forgot to address. My childhood thing that I forgot until now. No. By now you're ready to generalize that that too will pass. And is past. And has no power over me.
Yes, I get that.
So now...
Unless I let it. And if I let it, then I need to ask the Holy Spirit to help me.
And if you let it after Lesson 197, you'll know you're lying to yourself.
Okay.
It actually doesn't have power over you. You're dreaming that it does.
Right.
If you're doing your workbook, if you're really holding on to course tight, you're ready now to bust yourself and say, I'm doing it to myself again, and it's not. I don't really have to suffer.
That's right. That's what today was like for me.
Good.
I was not letting go. I was creating the suffering I was having.
Yes, very good. That's it. That is a spiritual awakening mm-hmm. when you recognize you are creating the suffering that you're experiencing.
Because it could have been a whole lot easier day if I just said, okay, I can do that.
Yeah, a whole lot easier.
Instead of fighting with...
And more based in truth, rather than filled with, decorated with lies.
Yeah.
Yeah. You didn't have a choice before. You thought those were truths.
Well, I thought that I should be able to solve something that couldn't be solved.
You did. Yeah. Make your children happy. Make your tomorrow happy for sure. You thought you could do that. You were lying to yourself.
Yeah.
You can make yourself happy now. You can make yourself happy now. You can actually welcome in the joy of God, no less, right now.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do it tomorrow. It's impossible. You'll fail if tomorrow is your goal.
And I can't do it for the past by remembering the past.
Yeah. Unless you remember the past through the filter of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And you can see the happy dream existed even in the past.
And there are times.
And as Julie was saying, the happy dream is not that you were laughing and smiling at the time. It's that you're laughing and smiling now about the time. Knowing it was an illusion.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's happy about the happy dream. Is that it's a dream. It sees that it was a dream and not real. If it was real, there's no God. The Course has a sentence that says... what is not happiness is death. One of these short sentences where you go, whoa! But Jesus is like, do you guys realize what you're doing with this nightmare of separation? You're actually dreaming of death in your whole world that has this precarious limit on it of loss of any type. You don't recognize what you are in truth. You're practicing some kind of fear. Therefore, if it's not happiness, happiness means you're going up, you're going down. Which is, well, death is the only way you can fully describe going down. It's death. Even if it's just death of a smile. Isn't it a loss? Isn't it a loss? I mean, isn't loss and death the same thing? So why don't we cut to the chase and call it what it is? Let's not make some delay. A little discomfort. Oh, it's just a little discomfort. It's not that bad. It's nothing. Not according to Course in Miracles. Turn to page
workbook, page 34. I think it's lesson 21. I'm not sure I know that. It's somewhere close to that. I think it's lesson 21.
I can escape the world.
I can escape from the world I see.
No.
It's 32, page 32, lesson 21. And look at this interesting sentence, the end of paragraph 2. Sentence 5. It says, you will become increasingly aware that a slight twinge of annoyance, just a little twinge of annoyance, is nothing but a veil drawn over intense fury.
So they're all the same.
They're all the same. The same level. They're all the same!
Yeah, that's the one that I always remember. Every time I think of that, I remember it just hides the death.
It just hides the death.
Yeah.
It hides the complete idolization and worship.
The little things above you just are just best, and now you can see them.
They're worshiping death, David.
Yeah.
The little twinge of annoyance needs wear.
So now when you see that popping up all the time, I think, now I'm doing better.
That's it.
I'm doing better.
Now you're paying attention.
Everything is.
Now you're paying attention.
Yeah. See?
That's what vigilance is about. The little things matter. The little things matter now with A Course in Miracles. Yeah. They didn't before. Before it was like, oh God, I can live another day and pay my rent. All is good. I don't care what happens. Right? Before. But now you recognize that any annoyance, any discomfort, if it's not happiness, it's death. Because where does it go? Where does a little twinge of annoyance go if you watered it?
I don't know where it keeps me from.
Uh-huh. And if you fed it and you watered it, and somebody asks you, well, why did you wrinkle your nose right there, Luann? Why weren't you laughing? That goes straight to hell. So it may as well call it what it is. Let's just go to death rather than annoyance. Let's just call it what it is.
So is it different than I'm never upset for the reason I think? That refers back to our separation. But
that refers back to your addiction to the past.
Yeah.
That you think the past rules your life.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Different.
Nothing I see means anything. That's a little closer to.
I want to go back to when you, sort of towards the beginning, when you said with Bridget's story, because this is just, it's just really, I'm trying to capture it in my own mind. With Bridget's story, when you said, let me tell you this amazing thing that occurred. What was amazing? Well, it's based on, it's only amazing because, let me tell you what didn't happen. When you said that, and then you proceeded to give the, like, three different examples of what didn't happen, I thought, something struck me in that moment that, like, the absolute ridiculousness of our thoughts. Right?
Yes.
Because we could have 15 or really 1,001 scenarios that we could plug in there that are creating our gratitude, that are creating our excitement, that are creating this belief in the world kind of miracle. First of all, none of them happen. None of them are actually true. Like, it was quite striking. And so those thoughts, and this idea of death, like those thoughts, well, first of all, they're just our perceptions, but they hold us in this world. So I think you were saying, like, the celebration of that moment is just confirming more. It's only good because something's bad, right? So
yes.
It's showing that duality.
It has the same purpose as the story of tragedy. In the story of success,
avoiding tragedy,
have the same purpose, and that is not to lose.
Yeah, and that both of those are based totally on whatever we just think something
fantasy, yeah,
is good or bad.
Yeah,
because there's no neutral thoughts, but it's so ridiculous because there could be 1,001. Stories that you created.
Yes.
Yeah, like even like driving through a, you know, at a stop sign, say, God, that's amazing, no, but we didn't crash to anybody.
Yeah.
I mean, it is ridiculous.
Yeah, that's it.
Like saying, oh. Yes. Dodged a bullet there.
Yes.
You know, it is. It's crazy. It causes chaos and brain.
Yes, the world is made out of fear and guilt. Blowing through that stop sign, another great example. Guilty! And it could have been really bad. But it wasn't.
No, I saw this presentation by a neuroscientist recently, and they showed that the amygdala, which is the fight, flight, freeze, according to her, fornicate, is next to or very close to the hippocampus, which helps with the recall and storage of memory, and was talking about trauma. And anyway, this amygdala response, she said that, you know, whether you have a self-attack thought, like I just said something stupid, or whether a tiger is actually running at you, like your brain treats it exactly the same, and all of those chemicals do what they need to do. So I'm just thinking of that with regard. I know this is the brain, but that also confirms the reality of these bodies, right?
Or yep.
You know. So if I have my 1001 stories and I'm playing those, like my amygdala is reacting to, you know, that and firing up things.
Yes.
I better do better next time so I don't run that stop sign that could have been trapped. You know, like it's. I'm just thinking about how this happens physically as well.
Yes, and I'm an idiot, and you start putting guilt in yourself. There's another phrase, the world is an illusion of those made mad by guilt. And so you start accosting yourself for running the stop sign or stop for running that. And those, the amygdala will be firing, your brain will be training you, you'll be teaching yourself that you're an idiot.
Mm-hmm. And then that's where the hippocampus comes in, because you then create the wiring that says you're always an idiot, right?
Yep. Yep, and the guilt would lay in as you picture getting in an accident and being guilty or hurting somebody. Mm-hmm. And you build a world with all these dreams. These are just fantasies. But they make the world more real for you.
And what I think for me, after 5 years of this course, when I really just pause to take in how I am now compared to before, it's like that rewiring of the brain, the stop and take a breath, like I'm undoing or unlearning that all that training.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now you can laugh at the horse trailer being tucked underneath the truck with no damage and enjoy that moment. Just don't let fear become the conversation of how bad it could have been. I like to say, because, you know, of course, we all do this. We all go through this. Of course, Miracle students, we all have to be vigilant now of these things. So what I say is, that happens all the time to me, too. Like, oh, boy. I'll say, hey, bad things don't have to happen. I'm like, oh. I just let it go. Because there is all this energy of, whoa, that was close. That's there. But I'm finding ways to more and more quickly celebrate and just let them go. So sometimes good things happen. And I don't go tell people how bad it could have been. Yeah, just like you said. Yeah.
I guess I like the idea of making that choice. You know, choosing to see it with the Holy Spirit instead of with the ego.
Yes.
And that was a that choice of not blowing the
wolf. Beautiful. Yeah. Because then the same thing when there is a problem and there is an expensive thing that goes wrong, you don't blow that up either.
Same thing, yeah.
You say, oh, well, all right, so we got to place the axle on the trailer. Backed it for 2 miles. All right, well, we'll just do that.
This is what Julie was kind of saying, that you have, it's like the vigilance of where your thoughts.
Yeah, you're retraining yourself.
Yeah.
Mind training.
Yeah, mind training. Yeah,
but a meatball.
You're nothing but a meatball?
Yeah. That's right, sir.
Oh, the wisdom of John. You got to write a song about that.
Invoking a little bit of Mario, too.
Nothing but a meatball. Yes.
Okay. Okay. It's a joke for people.
Okay, let's go to tonight's reading, page 436. And let's read the sweet paragraph number 2.
446 in...
436 in the text. It's a beautiful paragraph. It's a beautiful paragraph about love. You ready, David?
Which one?
Number 2.
Number 2, okay. Nothing can show the contrast better than the experience of both a holy and unholy relationship.
Yeah, and of course the contrast obviously is a relationship with the Creator versus a relationship with the ego. With the expander or the destroyer. Okay, go ahead.
The first is based on love. It rests on it serene and undisturbed. But it does not intrude upon it. Any relationship in which the body enters is based not on love, but on idolatry. Love wishes to be known, completely understood, and shared. There's no secrets, nothing that it would keep apart and hide. It walks in sunlight, open-eyed and calm, and smiling, welcome, and in sincerity, so simple and so obvious, it cannot be misunderstood.
That simple.
Yeah, pretty cool.
No objection. No objection. Love is the way I walk in gratitude. Do good times and bad. And then that's what you will have. I like to say that if you want to be in love, literally think about being in love like a fish is in water. And let love be everywhere. Even as things appear to be falling apart, say, well, let's see how this goes.
Isn't that what it means when they say, if we get through all this whole thing, we'll be looking on the world that way?
Yes.
And we'll only see love.
Right. That same energy will now be seen that it was always acting. It was always there. I mean, either God is or God is not. There's no power opposing God. It's a good meditation. Sit really still and figure out either God is or God is not. Are there two powers? Is there someone, the character as powerful as God, that God has to battle with, and somehow you're bouncing in between the two? That's kind of what Catholicism was showing me. I'm like, problem.
What I get in here is life is about choices.
Mm-hmm.
We can choose. We can choose to believe that God is all there is,
mm-hmm.
or we can choose to believe it isn't.
Yeah.
And heaven would be the choosing always of God.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's self-supporting.
Mm-hmm.
If it's true. Shows up everywhere.
I used to say, you know, heaven is here on earth. And what I have thought about my past life is everything that happened to me got me to this book so I can figure out how that heaven is on earth.
Because it's time.
Because it's time.
Yeah. No mistake.
So one of the things on this, when I do this statement, it's kind of always gets me, but you can't really describe or experience true love all the way because it's not of this world. Mm-hmm. So you're kind of like, all you can do is get a reflection of it.
Yeah.
When you go to the opposite, the next paragraph is going to talk about something that we can kind of understand.
Yep.
In a way, what we shouldn't.
Yep.
We should let it all go.
Because it's a big illusion, right?
Yeah, contrast.
Of competition for love constantly.
Yeah.
You've been challenged to somehow find love when love isn't present. And when love is present, you're challenged to share it without being misunderstood. Doesn't that just stink?
Absolutely.
I was trying to show you I loved you. And now look what happened. Oh! Right? So, David.
All that crap in there, yeah. It's just...
So maybe you're ready for this now.
Yeah.
Maybe you're ready for this little sentence in A Course in Miracles. It won't mean anything unless you're ready for it.
Forgiveness. That means we're under trial here because we don't understand. We know we're not ready.
Oh, no, absolutely. This is a pop quiz.
That's what I mean.
This is a pop quiz to see where you are. If this is this is nonsense. Unless you're ready for it. I don't even need to explain it. Because if you're ready for it, this is a direct quote from the book. It's just one of the, I told you there's all these levels, right? The Course in Miracles is written. And this is this is a level of understanding that took me a long time to get there myself. But you might be ready for that, David.
Yeah. Well, this always comes up. I mean, you talk about the Lord part, and it's like you've got all this, you know, you're using the Holy Spirit and all this stuff, and you're going, well, all you can do is just start practicing it.
Because the true love is not here.
Yeah.
The true love is not found in illusions.
Yeah.
So, you know what's found in illusions? Illusions.
Yeah.
Nothing. What real is found in a dream? Yeah. Nothing. Real is found in a dream. You can't keep it? You can't actually share it.
So I'm not ready for that. But I know what it means. I do know when love is not here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's really clear to me when love is not here.
Yes. This will guide
you. And then I have to sit back and say, okay, stop this because this is
good.
Not love.
Excellent. Yes. Absolutely. That's loving yourself.
Stop so basically it. When this happens, we're basically not part of this world anymore.
No, I think we are more in this world.
Well, you're in this world, but you're not of this world.
This is the illusion. This is illusion. Can't be illusion.
You can't
be. No,
but
you're not seeing it as an illusion. You're seeing it as love.
Yeah, but once we really get to love, you're not of this world anymore.
Well, you're still going to be here.
Forgiveness heals an illusion. There's... it's when... say it. I don't know how to say it.
Forgiveness is another dream.
Yes, thank you.
This is another dream. But Julie, what is this dream? What's different about this dream?
It's a right-mindedness.
Yeah.
You know that it was your thoughts that are causing this situation and that you are not a body.
Yes.
And therefore, it acknowledges the illusion and lets it go.
It acknowledges the illusion and lets it go.
Mm-hmm.
That's what forgiveness is a dream of. See,
in your own
the
mind.
Illusion was a dream that reality was true. You know, that the illusion was true. This is a dream that the illusion is false. Showing you the illusion is not true.
Mm-hmm.
That's the most loving thing you can do in this world.
Yep.
Good job, Julie.
To take all its teeth away.
But to do it completely is tough.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Right?
Because it's very much related. We say that there's nothing miracle. Again, I'm losing my words. I'm sorry. It's related to how miracles are also not something... Well, technically, they are something special because they're still in this world, right? They're just...
Yeah.
They're healing. Yeah. They're allowing you to see past the illusion. And forgiveness is when you do the release.
Yes.
Right? But both of these are still they're a mechanism that is utilized... That's kind of a weird way of saying it. But to sort of... free yourself from the illusion.
Yes.
To exit the illusion.
Yes. Very good.
But that's where, I don't know what it means, but where God comes and takes the final step, right?
Yes.
So all we
yes.
can do is this.
Yes.
And then the rest, as Luann was saying, isn't up to us.
That's right. It isn't. It's not up to us, because getting that, once you've done a bunch of undoing, mm-hmm. what you know is that the false is not true, but you mm-hmm. don't know the truth.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But you're ready That's for the truth. That God is the truth. That's why God takes the last step. It's because you've abandoned the false. What do you have? You have the truth. And you don't even know where it came from. It takes the next step because it is. Because God is. Therefore, as soon as you stop doing things that are false, you end up in the truth.
Hmm.
You don't make the truth. Turn to page 338 in the text. 338, paragraph 6. Jesus says it nicely.
Is it 338?
You ready, Kenny? You want to read crazy paragraph? 338 in the text.
338 in the text is really a funny
you
start.
You want to read the paragraph he's describing as crazy?
I'm sorry. Yeah. I appreciate other people reading to me.
Very nice, then. Julie, would you read to Kenny paragraph 6?
Absolutely. 338 paragraph 6. Okay. Your task is not to seek for love, but merely to seek and find all the barriers within yourself that you have built against it. It, love, is not necessary to seek for what is true, but it is, it is not necessary to seek for what is true, but it is necessary to seek for what is false.
That's what you're doing in the book will help you do, and the workbook lessons will teach you forgiveness and when to forgive and what to forgive and how many times per day. Undo, 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 undo. It's not your job to seek for love. But you do have to remove the barriers that you personally, in your freedom, and that energy, misused, miscreation, of course, calls it, blocking love. That you have to do, because you're loved so much, nothing will be taken from you, so not what, even what, your illusions.
So mm-hmm. Our task, then, is not necessary to seek for what is true.
Yes. But
to get rid of all the barriers to what is true.
Yeah, please continue.
Every illusion is one of fear, whatever form it takes, and the attempt to escape from one illusion into another must fail. If you seek love outside yourself, you can be certain that you perceive hatred within and are afraid of it. Yet peace will never come from the illusion of love, only from its reality.
Course in Miracles, practice and practicality in a paragraph. What will this book do for you? What do you have to go through as a creator of your own reality? You're going to have to go to putting down the illusions. Not making love, not seeking love, not trying to describe love. No, no, don't worry about it. Stop doing the false. The love's there already. Let's read one more paragraph. Yes?
I just want to talk about your sentence a little bit more.
Okay.
I thought, think, still, from what I've learned so far, that forgiveness is for me to realize I am not separate from anyone, no matter what they seem to be doing, because that's all an illusion. So therefore, if I can realize that we are one, then I will feel love for them.
And you would not be able to condemn or attack or judge.
Absolutely, because they didn't do anything.
I mean, it's all one.
Right. And whatever was going on, I was one with them, so...
So when you get this twinge of annoyance with somebody,
mm-hmm.
but you recall the miracle that all is one, then what would you do to forgive? Your thoughts about attack and judgment mm-hmm. in that moment.
Right.
That's why forgiveness is love here.
Yeah. And so that explains for me, or describes for me, what the process of forgiving yourself is about.
Right? And all that you need to do.
Yeah. Well, it's almost like you don't have to forgive anybody else for anything. You just have to forgive yourself for thinking you're separate from them.
That's correct.
That's all.
That's all.
Yeah. Well, in a way, that's easy.
It's very simple.
And because it feels like, you know, if I don't have to do any of that, if I don't have to think about what they did,
yep,
just what I thought that they did,
yep,
and forgive myself for that thought, then that's all there is to
well,
it.
Then only you can do that.
Only I can.
Nobody else can forgive you for your own thoughts.
Right.
That's an inside job, Luann. And it's all up to you anyway.
Yeah.
And you will get the benefits thereby. Good news. Good news. Seek no further than your own mind. It really is.
Sentence 3.
Yeah.
No, sorry. Sentence 4. And the attempt to escape from one illusion into another must fail.
Yeah.
So, kind of like the horse trailer thing, kind of putting that in real terms, right?
Yes. Nice.
So, to... think that you want to be out of something like this relationship or if I just had a better job, right? I would be chasing something.
Yes.
I'm still totally in the world.
Yes.
And that's why this is like waking up and stepping out of the illusion.
Yes. It's truly love.
Okay.
It's the most loving thing you can do here. Is what Julie's describing and Luann is describing. It's the highest use of mind here. And it leads to a beautiful sharing, as Luann described. When you forgive, not with effort, but with obviousness. That we're all one. We're all one's a miracle, by the way. Miracles are shifting perception. The old perception was we're all separate and competing. And the truth is, we're all one. That's the big miracle!
Mm-hmm. That's what all the other miracles are telling us.
Yeah, but if you got that loaded, and that's true for you, mm-hmm. then any thought of discomfort or judgment must be a legacy thought of when you believed in the ego and separation, and that's forgiven as soon as you see it for not being worthy of your mind.
Which is why, for me, feelings are important, because when I'm feeling negative about anything,
yep.
any of those negative emotions,
yep.
and I'm not doing that.
That's right. You're busy attacking, judging, worrying,
and then all
fearing.
All I have to do is say, what am I doing?
Guilting.
Is keeping me separate from that and not feeling love. That's all I have to do is
yeah.
just keep aware of what am I doing all the time.
Yeah. And choose peace instead of that. Just do lesson number 34 all day long. And you're good to go. That's a very practical. You really do have to undo. It's just like an alcoholic. You know, or if you're crying, and somebody says, oh, just stop crying. I eventually I will, but right now I'm in the middle of a cry.
Don't interrupt.
Right? What?
Don't interrupt.
Don't interrupt. Perfect.
Let me figure out what I'm done that's causing me to cry.
Oh, you can go that way. You can go that way.
But
and then you're ready to stop crying. Once you've figured out what you've done, then you're ready to stop. Fine. As long as you know that you're crying now for what you're thinking now.
Exactly.
Not for what you're feeling. Your feelings are not forcing you to cry. You're believing
no,
your feelings.
Belief
no.
of, the belief that accompanies the sadness is what's causing you.
No, that's right. That's right. Oh, remember we talked about this last week, or two weeks ago, we're working on what came first, the thoughts or the feeling.
But the feeling is what gives me the information about the thought that's not working.
The feeling is what gives you information about what you believe.
Right. A thought that's not working.
You believe it so much, you're feeling it.
Mm-hmm.
Not just thinking it.
Exactly.
So if you feel it, you must really believe it. Believe it. That's a thought. If you feel it, that's an expression of the body through the endocrine system. Julie was describing some parts of the brain. that will execute
to wit.
It will execute what you believe and manifest it in the body. So that you feel what you believe. Feelings are proof of your beliefs. They are not powers of their own. The feeling does not come first. The body doesn't know anything. It doesn't do anything of its own. This is very important. Otherwise, you are a victim.
But the thing about, I guess what I'm trying to say is, I don't often think about what my belief system is going to bring me a feeling.
That's true.
So the feeling for me is a warning. I'm working on a belief system that's not working for
Amen,
me.
Amen, sister. So train it in.
Yeah, so then I can, so then I can say, okay, I have to figure out a way not to believe that anymore.
Yes.
You're reading
and
that's the right
way.
Book.
You're reading the right book.
And the way that I believe that is written by forgiving. It's for forgiving myself for having that belief.
Yes, yes, undo.
It's not a belief that works for me. It keeps me separate from everybody.
Yeah. Now that could be a very circuitous, repeating, laborious...
But it's the way I do it.
I know. And it can go on for lifetimes.
Well, until I do what?
Well, thank you for asking.
Okay.
Until you reach for the miracle.
Okay, hold on a second. This might be my problem. The only way I know how to reach for the miracle is to do these lessons and to ask the Holy Spirit for a miracle.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what I've been doing. Yes. Sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't.
Yes. When it doesn't work, you jump to forgiveness instead of the miracle.
That's well, and I have to forgive myself, don't I?
Yes, indeed.
Okay, well, is that any less laborious than what I normally... Because I do what I do really quick. Mm-hmm. I'm sitting here, you ask us and I go inside, I find a feeling, the feeling tells me something, and that's what I say.
Well, yeah, it becomes quicker and quicker as you go along.
Because I've been doing it now for 37 years that way, so...
Yeah. But, you know, the spiritual ego is the one that forgives without a miracle.
The one that forgives without an ego.
Without a miracle.
Without a miracle.
The spiritual ego is the one that forgives without a miracle.
Well, I'm probably still reaching for the spiritual ego.
The spiritual ego is the one that makes everything nice.
Sure.
Makes everything nice in a problematic situation where he actually hurt me. But I am so spiritual, I'm not going to attack him because I believe in love.
Well, that I can do without thinking about it.
That is the ego, my friends. The spiritual ego. What?
Presupposing superiority due to your supposed beliefs.
It leaves him as having power over me. He attacked me. And hurt me.
Oh, well,
and he broke the law doing it. It's not nice what he did. But I forgive him. Because I am a spiritual, non-violent person. And I don't want to attack him because he's my holy brother and he was doing the best he could at the time. Isn't that nice? David, I forgive you because you were doing the best you could at the time. And I know you didn't mean to hurt me the way you did. I'm going to forgive. See, forgiveness just quiets it down. What does the Course call it? It's a pardon?
They have another way. They used to say, when I read somewhere, forgiveness for... What was that? I read it somewhere. I can't remember how it said it. Forgiveness for death or... Yeah, the ego's way is kind of weird.
The ego's way is pardon, see? Pardon for having hurt me. For having done something wrong. What?
Just making it real. Making the act
real. It actually leaves it real.
I like to say to myself, when I think I am... being injured in any way, verbally or even physically, which didn't happen, but I say to myself, I forgive of myself this illusion, then a colon of whatever happened.
Mm-hmm.
I forgive of myself this illusion because what it is I created it due to my own ego parameters, which I think are necessary, which do support and conform to a belief system that I already had.
Yeah.
And
you have to buck the belief system that made the problem possible in the first place.
Yes, you made it incipient. It's going to happen.
Forgiveness is not a lie.
So I try to say, I forgive of myself this illusion.
Yeah.
But of course, without the guilt. without any guilt.
Of course, in miracles.
It's forgiven. Mm-hmm. There's no guilt if it's forgiven.
Of course, in miracles. Will allow you some thoughts, afford you some thoughts through the workbook lessons of how it's possible you were not hurt, even though in the world's eyes you were.
Then that's an illusion, too.
That's an illusion. It'll help you.
I try to stay with that.
Yes.
Because I don't want to slip off into the spiritual ego and because it makes any forgiveness worthless.
That's right. It's a lot. Worthless, harmful. Mm-hmm. It makes forgiveness harmful. If you forgive something that's really happened, you are lying, you're not taking care of yourself, and you're setting up a trap for him and for you equally. Forgiveness, as the world uses it, is an attack. It's the ego celebrates. That's why A Course in Miracles is so needed. You need miracles in front of your forgiveness. So that you're not lying to yourself and you say that didn't hurt.
No, I wouldn't do that.
It's usually, for me though, it's because we use pretty extreme examples in here, I think it's super subtle a lot of times. Like, it's really in the story you create in your mind. Mm. Like, maybe somebody ripped you off, but you have this story about how they needed it more or whatever, but like, you still feel ripped off, right?
Yeah.
Or like maybe somebody annoys you at work and you're like, oh, they're probably having a bad day. You know, it's not like you're not always thinking, I forgive you even though you did this to me. Like, it's a super subtle thing that you create all those stories that to allow you to dismiss things, but they're still very real.
Yeah,
in my experience,
that's right. That's where we really, you have to bust your ego. And you need the Holy Spirit to show you to show you how a situation that's obviously harmful in the world.
So is that a
can
shift,
be released?
Is that a shift in perception when you ask for the miracle, or is that if you forgive your and say I'm forgiving this illusion? What's the difference?
The miracle establishes it as an illusion. Forgiveness lets go of the illusion. Because you're still going to think about and ponder on that terrible thing that could have happened or did happen. If the miracle's in place, you're letting go of nothing. If the miracle's not in place, you're just biting your tongue and not attacking. You see the difference?
Oh, I'm fine.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Look, in the world, you forgive things that happened. And hurt. It shouldn't have happened. With your spiritual awakening, with the Course in Miracles and the Holy Spirit, you forgive things that didn't happen. Mm-hmm. Crazy talk, right? When you start doing your Course in Miracles, it makes sense. Nothing. As you awaken spiritually now, lesson 97, I am spirit, and you really got to do the workbook lesson and get yourself here so that these sentences make sense. But you recognize that you are not a body. Whatever you are, through good and bad, is the same. You've all had that little thought, right? Everybody here? Has everybody here had that little interesting thought that says, that little quiet voice in your head doesn't seem to get affected by anything? It's always there, isn't it?
I'm not aware of it.
Not aware of it? It's a good thing to meditate on. To look for something quiet inside of you that would always offer an opinion, even if your leg was cut off right now. And we were all trying to find enough bandages to stop the bleeding. There is a part of you that would say, ooh, leg is gone. I'm still here. Not the one with the opinion that says, I don't want to be without a leg. That's the ego. And it's very loud, opinionated, full of laws.
I think that's why when I had that huge growth that nobody knew was inside of me, it was like, regardless, I'm still here.
Yeah. And Bert, one of the ways that you can do this tonight before you go to bed is you can sit for a few moments and just do a breathing meditation. Maybe it's 200 breaths. Count them out. Count in 1. Count out 2. Count in 3. Count out 4. Just do that for 200 till you get to 200. Your mind will be pretty quiet after that. It takes a couple of minutes. And then you say, what's here right now between my breaths? The ego say nothing. You've been sitting in the chair for 3 minutes, chanting numbers. But the quiet part of you will say, wow, something very comfortable is here. Very whole, unharmed by the world, and it's been there since I was a child. I'd like to keep that.
I remember when I was a child.
Mm-hmm.
Can't go there anymore.
Yeah, you can. There's all sorts of effort. There's also pressures that you would not go there. But that's why we have studied this book, to get some of those hooks out of your mind so that you can again be reborn into the present moment.
When I was little, I used to be able to go close my eyes and go to a place that was really peaceful.
Mm-hmm.
And as I was here longer.
Yeah.
And all the bullshit.
Yeah, all the bullshit.
Trauma started happening, I lost touch with that.
That's right. You did. And you, it's this amusement park was designed to do exactly that.
Yeah.
It's enough. Have you had enough? Have you had enough, Bert? Have you had enough of being so distracted?
Yeah, that's the story of my life.
Turn to page 388.
You know, by the way, thank you for the breathing thing, because I was just practicing it. I can tell exactly. Mm-hmm. Oh, it felt wonderful.
How do you count it?
Yeah.
You keep
count in 1. 1. And when you let the air go back out, that's 2. All the way out.
So just 1 count in and 1 count on the exhale.
That's right!
One but you notice the exhale, you notice the space after the exhale.
You just,
before you pull it back in, yeah. Notice that space afterwards.
Yep. And then just let the body naturally breathe. However fast or slow, doesn't matter. Count them all. Count in, count out. 1, 2, 3, 4.
I wouldn't be counting sheep.
No, it's not the same thing. Because you've relaxed and found peace.
Don't put me
in the little instant.
What page did I see?
388?
388.
Oh, yeah, 388. What page does the Holy Spirit say? Obviously, I didn't have any idea. Okay.
Section.
I need you nothing. Is that what you're looking for?
Yes.
388.
388.
And go to 390. Oh, I like 388.
Well, the whole section would be a great thing to read, but we're out of time. So instead, we're going to jump to the end. And look at paragraph 8. Okay. This is for Bert.
And Bert's up to read.
And Bert's up to read! Okay, Bert. Page 390.
You won't understand if you're just reading
yes.
it.
Well, somebody else will read it back to him.
I'll do it.
Okay, 390, paragraph 8. This is for Bert.
Yet there will always be this place of rest to which you can return. And you will be more aware of this quiet center of the storm than all its raging activity. This quiet center in which you do nothing will remain with you, giving you rest in the middle of every busy day, doing on which you are sent. Doing on which you are sent. I'm going to read that again.
That's okay, because we're going to read it back to you. You just finish reading, and then we're going to read it to you.
All right. For from this center, you will be directed how to use the body sinlessly. It is this center from which the body is absent. that will keep it so in your awareness of it.
And now if you just close your eyes and listen, Brother John, would you read that paragraph to Bert?
Gladly. Yet there will always be this place of rest to which you can return. And you will be more aware of this quiet center of the storm than all its raging activity. This quiet center in which you do nothing will remain with you, giving you rest in the midst of every busy doing on which you are sent. For from this center will you be directed how to use the body sinlessly. It is this center from which the body is absent that will keep it so in your awareness of it.
And finally, Luann, would you read it to all of us?
Yet there will always be this place of rest to which you can return, and you will be more aware of this quiet center of the storm than all its raging activity. This quiet center in which you do nothing will remain with you, giving you rest in the midst of every busy doing on which you are sent. For from this center you will be directed how to use the body sinlessly. It is this center from which the body is absent that will keep it so in your awareness of it.
That is a gift to you. This quiet center is found in stillness.
And it's that in between the breath that's still.
Let's have a circle. And we'll talk about it a little bit.
It's a great recipe for meditation.
Isn't it?
I can't meditate, but I could do that.
Take a deep breath. So, there is a quiet center of the storm. It is your life of movement and time and thoughts and judgments, of worries and of hopes and dreams. There's a quiet center. It's always been with you since you were a child and before. It was given you in your creation. We call it an altar in this room. If you did nothing, it's what you would have. What you have is what was given you in your creation. Pure, strong, certain, and fully connected to the truth. For just doing nothing, for the ego, it's very hard to do nothing. It would be death. That's the point. One way to describe a spiritual journey is indeed to die before you die. Let all your thoughts of being somehow vulnerable die. And let the present thought, simple thought of love, here now, being fully supported on a wonderful journey, let that be known. But not for reaching for it, just receiving it, that it's present now. All you have to do is be still. This is your altar, where you would say, I don't know anything. Your body is not there. Your body is something you would have to know about. Just your mind is there, without your body. What a gift for you. Thanks, everybody. Amen. Good little workout tonight, huh?
So reminds me of a little bit.
He likes it.
I got to
go do this other thing.
Well, I got to think about this.
Well,
remember something I needed to put on my list. I'll write it down right away.